Welcome to the Pointed Perspective Podcast. We are your hosts, Ren Chapman, Brandon West, and Ashley Chapman, here to bring you exciting individuals in the sport of freedive spearfishing, their stories, their lives, and their adventures. This podcast is supported always by Evolve Freediving, Excellence in Freedive Education, and NC Spearfishing, professionally guided North Carolina spearfishing charters. Today, thank you for joining us as we dive deep with the legendary team from WB Diving, renowned megalodon tooth hunters and true watermen. In this episode, we will uncover the secrets of hunting for prehistoric treasures, the thrill of the hunt, and the passion for adventure that drives these guys. Enjoy.
You're just making the situation worse.
Yeah, you are.
Your face makes every situation worse.
Ooh.
That's right.
So does anybody have a justice for the day?
It's an injustice. Thanks for listening.
We're going to call
it. Ashley has a podcast. Uh-huh. She had a podcast. She's getting ready to do the last one tomorrow, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, we're closing up shop.
Post-session podcast. It's a good podcast. It really was. But yeah.
Ren's our editor. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
So you guys have who here today?
Oh, man.
Who do you have here today?
We pretty much have Wrightsville Beach Diving here today.
That's all of it. Yeah.
Legends.
The whole thing.
Total.
No, we already called Bruce Mock legends. No.
You can have multiple legends.
That's not true.
Yeah, he could be like the spearfishing legend. We could be the Meg legend.
Well, they're not.
Well, you're definitely
the Meg legend. Definitely the Meg legends.
Yeah, that's my nickname.
So anyway.
So, guys, I have never gone and gotten megalodon.
What are their names?
We do the introduction.
You already told the whole world their names?
We do a pre-recording if you haven't listened. Ren and I sit down and do it uninterrupted.
When did you do that?
And we do it after.
Oh, after. I was going to say, because you called it a pre-recording, but you showed up late, so I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
You got a pre-recording.
God, he's digging. See, I love guys that give Brandon a hard time.
It's not hard.
They'd bring everyone.
I mean, props. Props. That was
actually
click,
don't do
click
it.
On your feet, but yeah, Brandon's living in fruit.
Brett's over there. He hadn't said a word. He's like, "We recording already? I'm not saying anything."
That's when he goes
hard
silent.
To speak over. All
Brett, did you bring the backpack?
That's a burn.
Of course.
What's in the backpack?
Me and Brandon's secret.
Oh.
Where are we going with this? I mean, so many directions. Do you want us to guess or?
That is. Good memories of that at trade shows, I think, in Vegas. Was that in Vegas or Orlando?
Orlando.
The last is that the last one we went to?
That was the last one
you,
we
saw
to.
You.
Yeah.
So
I think Ashley showed up the next morning.
I showed up. Yep.
So I'll
this is,
go
I'm sorry.
Ahead. Well, I would like to give a preamble to this story. One of the things we wanted to ask you guys about was your marketing and getting so big and how I was kind of blown away when I went to trade shows and they're like, "Where are you from?" And I'm like, "Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach." And they're like, "Oh, I went and dove teeth there." And somebody from anywhere in the country or not in the country. And I'm like, "Oh, who'd you go with?" "Oh, Brett and Chris." So you guys have a big name in the industry. So, and trade shows in Las Vegas, Orlando. But so tell that story of y'all's trip to Orlando and your interaction with Ashley.
Well,
did we interrupt?
Yeah, that's all that you need to know.
Oh, hazy. Yeah. She doesn't remember.
Hazy.
Did you tell these guys about your plane ride home the next?
No, wait, tell these guys. I've tried not to tell anybody about that. It was my birthday.
What happened on the plane ride?
Oh.
I sat next to a guy that was three times my size.
Give the listeners a real story. Who's going to start it?
I'm telling you the story of the plane ride home.
Okay.
I had the barf bag.
Oh, and you actually used it?
Well, the guy next to me goes, "Yeah, these planes can be rough." I'm thinking, yeah, it's the plane. It's the plane that's rough. It was bad.
Mm. Were you in an aisle, middle, window, scrunched
small
in?
Small plane, yeah. Scrunched in, ugh. Window.
Ugh.
Yeah, there was no making it to the bathroom.
Yikes.
Just riding it out, all sweaty. And okay, is there a story about... an interaction at the trade show?
I had a great time with you guys.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Super time. Yeah. Super fun.
I had a great time, apparently.
We had a great time.
Actually,
now,
one night.
You guys just roam. When you go to the show, you just roam, right?
We just roam. Yeah, we don't ever set freelancing. Up booths. I mean, we see a lot of our customers there, so it's just one big, like, it's not even a networking thing. It's just one big party.
Yeah,
you see everybody. Hello. And
like, where are the kegs for the day, for the afternoon? What's the first keg?
Remember that night started? We were at, Mark had a dinner.
Oh,
with
clients.
And we crashed it. And then we met up with some of our other friends who were customers. And they're like, we were like, oh, no, we're good. We got it. We got the bill. They're like, no, really? You don't have to do that. We're like, we got it. Because Mark was paying for the whole table. Oh,
that was messed up.
We took credit for it, for sure.
Was I there?
You were there.
You had to have been there. It was your party.
I think you were working.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you had to stay somewhat even keel.
That doesn't sound like me.
Responsible.
You didn't, but
Luca was there. Yeah.
Luca was there.
I like Luca.
Awkward.
That was what, 5-6 years ago?
I was going to say, what year was that? It was pre-COVID?
It
was. Yeah. The year before COVID.
Yeah. It was a while back.
I don't know.
Had to be, because then COVID shut it down for a couple years.
Is that something y'all are still doing, is going around to trade shows to market?
We don't go to market. That's so not.
They just go to
hang out. We just go to show face, you know? But really, I mean, just like back to what you said, I mean, we just got really lucky. So like when we started the charter business, a lot of groups booked the boat, right? So there's a lot of dive shops from around the country. And then word spread. It was a lot of just word of mouth. And then what happened is, so these dive shops would bring a group of six. And now that person has their dive club with their own group of six. And now when they want to come back next year, they want to have their own trip with their group of six. So, I mean, keeping the operation small enough to where you can only bring six people at a time, I mean, we stay full. But we just got involved and lucky with the right people in the business. I mean, you know, some amazing, you know, really, really famous people in the diving industry have come out and dove with us. So they kind of did the work for us.
I love that.
In a way.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're being humble about it. I mean, I know there's lots of people that helped you along the way, but you guys, your work did the work for you.
Yeah, we did. We still do, but we hustled.
Yeah,
we
you
hustled
work
a lot.
Really hard. You're working all the time.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
We've learned to dial it back. First few years were hectic, so.
Now, do you guys do, like, does, like, Chris go one day and you go another day, or do you guys go every single day?
This is the duo. Ooh,
every day.
Jeez. Every day, me and him.
And then, I mean, there's a couple days throughout the season where we run two boats, and we use the version of the boat next to us. So Brett and I will split up, and then we'll get two other crew members to one on each boat, everything like that. But we've pretty much been on every single one. Unless one of us absolutely can't be there for something.
Yeah, I didn't know you were working with Diversion.
We don't work with him,
but you charter him.
He's got a boat that is
perfect.
Got backup everything boat. Set up and the correct Coast Guard requirements.
Pretty
to
much
run
like
a charter
your boat.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've only really used him when we've screwed up and accidentally double booked the boat. And, and then on Friday, I have two separate groups of six texting me like, hey, what's the weather looking like tomorrow? I'm like,
shit. It looks terrible.
You have to have, since they're all certified, do you have to have extra, I guess, guides if you do that?
That's the one
What is the rule?
In North Carolina, it's kind of one of the only places I've been to as far as traveling around the world and diving, where we don't have anybody in the water with the customers. And, you know, we do our briefings, you know, we set up all the lines, anchoring, things like that. But as far as in the water goes, they're on their own.
Does that make you terrified?
Yeah. Yes. So as soon as they all jump in the water, you know, our motto changes, you know, WP diving, please just come back.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you guys they're deep sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah. The Meg Ledge is, you know, our most popular dive for sure. And it can be dangerous. I mean, it's 110, 115 feet. Mm-hmm. You're doing three dives. You're on the bottom the entire time. It's not a multi-level dive. But we screen our customers. You know, you're not just going to be open water certified, just got out of dive four and come out to dive the Meg Ledge, right? So
you never know.
Not gonna happen.
We get a lot of seasoned freediver's.
Oh yeah,
in but, our class.
But yeah, but you guys know. I mean, you can size somebody up as soon as you, as soon as they show up, with their gear, right? I mean, you just start talking
typically,
to them.
Typically, yeah.
And the more experience they tell you they have, usually the worse diver they are.
Mm-hmm. It's scary though, because I'm thinking, and maybe it's just a control thing on my part, but I'm thinking about our students, and I'm like, I wouldn't let any of them in the water alone in the ocean.
Well, no, you're free diving. Like a you terrible can't idea.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's idea. Why their For motto us. Changes. Yeah, our, I guess ours. We got
ours
the whole
is a little different
blackout thing.
You got the blackout thing, and it, they're not showing us a certification card that they were taught by someone to do it. That's what they're there to do. So it is a little bit different.
I guess you're
For
right.
For the spearfishing charters that Ren and I do, there are sometimes I always try to be in the water. Sometimes I need a break. And depending on their level, I'll see like halfway through the day if they're okay to be by themselves for a drift. If, and sometimes absolutely not. And sometimes there's been a couple people where I feel comfortable with them doing it, you know. But yeah, there's no rule on those guided charters that I have to be in the water.
Yeah.
So.
And honestly, I mean, I, you know, if you think about it, if say I'm on the boat and Brett's in the water with these people, right? And now somebody pops up away from the boat. Right. Or I got to do a rescue on the surface. Well, I'm screwed because I'm the only one on the boat and I'm by myself. That's like the worst situation you can be in. So it's actually safer for us both to be on the boat. Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. And if somebody, you know, needs help on the bottom or somebody comes to surface like, hey, we need to find this guy or, you know, he needs more gas or whatever it is, then somebody can jump in and handle it. But I mean, most situations scuba diving related, I mean, you're going to find out on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And, you know, you need two people up there.
Yeah. I had a question. I was just thinking.
Well,
about.
I do. So I did one. I've got a client that comes up once a year and does scuba diving. And that's all he wants to do, him and his son. And every time he comes up, it seems the weather is horrible. Horrible. Yeah. And we go anyways. And we get out there and... his captain's always looking at, they bring their captain with the boat. There's their guide to, you know, show them where to go, if it's good, if it's bad, whatever. And
these are those tech diver guys that want to
tech divers.
Right?
They've got the 47 Freeman. Yeah. Yep. And their captain looks at me and goes, hey, I'd like to get in too. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, I can just imagine y'all deal with it daily. Just for me, that like whole week is just, I'm a stress ball trying to find, mitigate the current, mitigate 6 foot seas, white caps, following bubbles around. Like, how do y'all are getting six six brand new people, and it's, you know, 100 foot viz where you're going, or it's 20 foot viz where you're going. It's zero knot current or it's 5 knot current. How do you mitigate that when you have them coming up in separate? I'm sure they're not coming up all at the same time.
Do you guys throw an anchor? I mean, is it anchor diving? Or?
Two ways. Depends on the site and it depends on conditions. So we could anchor, where when we do anchor, we're not just throwing it and hoping it catches. I mean, we're sending us down.
Right.
We have what we call a dive bomb rig. So we just throw the anchor in with a poly ball on the surface. Boat's not tied to it. The diver can go down. He has all the time in the world. Finds a rock, ties it around, clips the carabiner. We're hooked in. He comes up or I come up, and then we just clip it to a bridle off the bow or anchor. So the other nice thing about anchoring that way is if somebody does come up away from the boat in a current, right?
Unclip.
We're not tied to that spot. We can release from that anchor line. Everybody that's still in the water has their anchor line to come up. We know where that poly ball is, right? Mm-hmm. And we can go get somebody and then come right back, pick everybody else up. Another way we do it is just straight live boat. So we drop the poly ball with our anchor and our chain, everything like that. And then we just keep the boat mobile, drop people in, and then they use the down line and the up line, right?
So I like that idea. Yeah,
it makes it easier, especially like in a current. I mean, you jump in behind the boat. Boat's, you know, effectively 40 feet long, right? You jump in behind the boat, then you're on the tag line, and now you're pulling yourself another 45, 50 feet to get to the anchor line and then the whole way down to the bottom. I mean, you're burning so much gas and energy trying to get down, right? We live boat, okay, read the current, drop them in up current. By the time they're at 30 feet, they're meeting the anchor line, and away you go. Mm. So some of that is site dependent. Some of it is conditions dependent.
Mm-hmm.
but we can do it either way. But yeah, it is brilliant. Super stressful with so especially people you don't know.
Luckily, do y'all ever get in the water with them, say like, hey, this is really kind of chill today, or this person needs extra help, or do y'all charge extra money? Or
occasionally, yes. Yeah, so depending, we kind of feel out the customer, see what's going on. If someone does need extra help, I'll get in the water with them, help them
not
out.
Willingly.
Not willingly.
He hates it.
I hate going in the water. I'd rather so be up much. Top.
The truth's coming out.
What's the deal?
My teeth clients.
It's just I'm in control of myself.
Yeah.
I don't know what other people do. So when you're in the water, they might be less experienced. I don't know if they panic or what they do. They're going to, you know, turn that bad situation worse on me. So like, I just like doing my own thing. I know what I'm capable of.
The thing we always talk about is like, you know, like Brett will get in the water, right? With say he's got to watch somebody, right? But he'll also be in the water with the other customers on the boat, divers. And he'll come up. He's like, if you knew what goes on down there, you'd never run another charter again.
I'm sure that's right.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
we
sure
see
that's
them,
right.
We see them, you know, okay, they get in the water, right?
Yeah.
They come down, back up.
And then here they are back on the boat. How was your dive? Great. Everything's good. Check your air. Good. Good to go. And then he sees what they're actually doing.
Yeah. See, because the three of us are in the water and we see it.
Yeah.
That's why we're looking at you like this.
I know.
Yeah, they're in there. That.
Yeah. So that's why I don't get in
we
the
know.
Water with them.
It's a pain in the butt, man.
It is.
Out of sight, out of mind.
It's stressful. And
well, at least for us, we're mitigating at the surface mostly. You know, we can reset instantly. And we're working from the surface. I can't imagine having to be down there and all that going on, having to mitigate it underwater.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, you know, being a smaller operation, six people, a lot of repeat customers. Yeah. You know, we require advanced water, nitroc, certain number of dives to 100 feet.
That was my next
dive
question.
Dive insurance. You know, yeah. We require a lot to do that specific dive, right?
Sure.
You know, I don't know if I could do it. Well, I used to do it as a mate, but you know, on a boat with 18 to 20 divers.
Oh my gosh.
That
does it make you happy?
All with their patio open water shirt, you know,
yeah.
And their snorkels
yeah,
and their
terrible.
Yeah, please
gadgets.
Back. Please come back.
Oh, that's stressful.
You know, people talk about, my dad, when we got into this freediving thing, he hated us freediving. He was like, oh man, this is the most dangerous thing you could ever do. I was like, Dad, you're a freaking scuba diver.
Yeah.
That is the most dangerous. I mean, in the diving world, there are so many things that can be bad.
Yeah. I mean, basically free diving, you got one concern. I mean, as
one
far
concern.
As life or death, blackout, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you mitigate that with a buddy at the surface.
Yep. Yep.
And you know that a blackout's not going to happen at 100 feet, right? You know it's going to happen right there. So.
Yeah. 99% of the time.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So the biggest issue in freediving is solved just by having someone right there.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
it.
And we die, you know, with students, you're on a line.
Yeah.
It's very controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very controlled environment.
The scuba diving.
Yeah, it's wild.
Plus, you have a larger range of people that get into scuba diving as
yes.
opposed to freediving.
Most people that are too out of shape to freedive.
throw a tank on their back.
I'll be nice about it. Scuba dive, right? I mean, and I see it all
well,
the time.
Well, you said that. I Ashley Chapman of Evolve Free Diving.
Yeah, none of us three said that. So y'all,
no, it's wild. I mean, when you get some people on the boat, and you gotta, you know, the trim tabs get a workout every time they move.
Yeah.
You're like, what are you doing?
Please stay put.
I always thought it was amazing when I went to trade shows that there was a smoking section, and there was like 50 people outside smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Cigarettes at a dive trade show.
It's,
I was like,
it's gotten better, but I mean, you know, in the past, scuba divers have been the most unhealthy people.
I was like, I bet they're not going to the ocean or free dive wetsuit booth after this. But. So it doesn't sound like y'all are trying to grow it, huh? Not trying to get another boat or
we kick that happy. Idea around every winter.
Yeah.
And think about it. I mean, in Wrightsville Beach, the biggest issue is
storage.
Parking.
Where to put a boat, right?
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. We got a good thing going at Bridge Tender with what we pay for our slip. We were grandfathered in from a long time ago, and finding another spot to run two boats is a lot, you know. And
more money, more problems.
Exactly.
Is what I say.
Exactly. So we have, you know, obviously Wrightsville Beach Diving, and then the Fossil Exchange tooth diving business. So we
called Fossil Exchange.
Fossil Exchange, yeah.
The Fossil Exchange.
Yeah. So we're
I'm really interested in that. That's cool stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, I mean, offshore of Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach area is greatest place in the world to find megalodon teeth. Mm-hmm.
Do you believe greatest place in the world?
Well, let me ask you, where else
awesome.
Yeah.
Do they find them in the world, like in heavy aggregation?
So Florida, West Coast, mm-hmm. Venice, they used to call that the shark tooth capital of the world, right? And they're diving, you know, right off the beach, 30, 40 feet of water. And yeah, you can find megs down there, but not in the numbers that we do here. Mm-hmm. And then Aurora, North Carolina, where the phosphate mine used to be. Yep. That was amazing, but they shut that down. So the public can't go in and dig anymore.
Could you go in and dive that river?
Yeah.
Because that's the river.
I mean, I guarantee right out these windows, you can find megalodon teeth. Mm-hmm.
But you can't find them here. Only John Dornalis would do that. Yeah, it is dark.
I know. I've dove rivers in Georgia and South Carolina to find teeth, and it's not fun.
No, it's scary.
It's not fun. But yeah, and then Peru, Chile, and where else?
Well, you can basically draw a line from offshore North Carolina all the way cut through Florida to the West Coast. So you can find them along Georgia rivers, South Carolina rivers, and then across the land in Florida, and then onto the West Coast and Venice, Florida. So there's a line that you can find these teeth, but they don't find them in the numbers we find them in. You can find teeth, but we find them in higher concentrations.
So since you guys are like the pro megalodon
premier,
I mean, you guys know megalodon. You know exactly what they were doing. What are they?
Yeah, I know exactly where they're living right now. I mean,
we've seen a couple swim by.
Yeah, where's the last one?
Yeah.
But why do you find them here? Like, why is there that line distinct?
Why is it not in Australia? Why is it not, California?
Oh, you asked the question. It is going to be such a long answer.
Yeah.
That's why I said we only have 3 hours.
Okay. Remember? We got 3 hours?
Everyone asked that question, but
go.
I try to simplify it because I don't fully understand it. But to what my knowledge is, specifically in our area, our coast, Onslow Bay, is shaped like a semicircle all the way from Moorhead to Frying Pan Shoals. It creates this semicircle where over time, the sharks didn't die there. They didn't die and lose their teeth right where we're finding them. Mm-hmm. They have shed them, lost them throughout the course of their life. They died. And then they're on the bottom of the sea floor. Once they become fossilized, oceans fill in, expose them, and then they shuffle around on the sea bottom floor. So the net transport of materials from offshore to inshore, which is why sand ends up on the beach. Mm-hmm. So you got to think of them, they're bouncing around on the bottom, storms, currents, and they're shuffling around. And over time, you're talking millions of years, because specifically the teeth we're finding are 5.6 million years. Mm-hmm. And so they're shuffling around, and when they hit these ledges that we have, these limestone ledges that we have that run off the coast, they can't jump over them. It becomes a point of stopping, and then they aggregate and concentrate in an area. Mm. So the trick is finding, which ledges are the ones that are.
Is it
collecting
the north south ledges, or is it the east west?
We can't
get into all that.
Do you have some way?
There is a pattern.
Do you have some way of telling me a number format?
yeah. 3-3.
Could you share some waypoints with our guests, our listeners?
That's really interesting.
One thing that one time we were hanging out and you said, I could tell you all day. We might have had a couple backpack drinks, and I could tell you all of my spots, and you couldn't find them. So they're not just laying there. You know what I mean? Like, they're not saying that.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean.
It wasn't condescending towards me as being a bad diver. It was like.
Maybe a little.
You don't know. That's all
right. Yeah, I was about to say, you don't know.
Don't hurt my feelings.
A little. No, it's true. I mean, so there are sites where, they are sitting on the surface, right? Mm-hmm. I think we had that conversation about, like, freediving for them. It'd be really cool to, like, go down and get a video of you freediving down, find one, right? Mm-hmm. So some sites, you can see them laying on the surface, right? But most sites, you're digging, right? So they're not just sitting there. You're digging maybe a foot, 2 feet down. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of digging.
Yeah, we ain't got time for
underwater scooters. And then every ledge is different, right? There's no pattern for it. Some ledges, they're right up in the rocks, in the, you know, the big boulders right next to the ledge, you know, all around that. Other ledges, they're 700-800 feet off the ledge.
Oh, wow.
In the thin sand, you know? So when we're exploring, you know, it's just, you got to dive, and do everything. It's not like, okay, if they're not here, then they're, you know. So it makes it challenge to explore, but there's no shortage of them.
That's what I'm saying about hard work, though. I mean, I have an idea what it takes to make it all happen. And not only are you just taking people down, letting them find things, you're figuring out the spots. You have to be out there all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so we usually, every off day that we have when we're not running a charter, we're going out ourselves,
right?
We're hitting ledges for our own inventory, but we're also exploring. And
that's,
we spend
intense.
So much time and fuel to explore, you know? And you go out and you're like, all right, we're going to do 4 dives today. We might not come back with one, but, you know, crossing a ledge off the list is sometimes
just
as important as finding one, right? And so that's when it really sucks, because there's other boats, other people that, you know, their version of exploring is, let's find ledge tender on radar. And that's how they explore.
Right? That's not nice.
It's not. No. It gets ugly. That's why we have.
Can we have you tell them that?
It's not nice. That's like writing a resume with ChatGPT.
I know.
That's cheating, man.
And,
although that stuff
so,
is cool.
Has there been an increase in people that are out trying to do charters and sell them out of here? I knew one other friend, Zach. Who was doing it kind of about the same time, didn't take off like you guys did, but have there been more people
every year?
I think putting those bad boys in Audrey's shop was such a good idea, because I don't know if they're still there, what the dynamic is, but I remember when it first came up, you know, the shop opened and you guys had all those Meg teeth in there. How cool for the general population to see that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
to experience
amazing.
That.
Like
I don't
a museum.
Know if it
they're still there.
To business, but
they're still there.
Yeah. They're still there. No one's buying them.
She just has to buy them now.
Yeah. No more giveaways.
Do people not go in there and buy them?
They do. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, anywhere you go in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Where are you?
I mean,
you can't find, I mean, you, when you go to a store and you see a megalodon tooth, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How much is this thing?
A freedivers.
I mean, this thing is 5.5 million years old. This is cool.
Yeah. Who doesn't? They're just
that's
cool.
A good correction.
And, and every time, like, I travel, I mean, anywhere in the world, I always bring Meg teeth with me. You know,
sure.
And you meet someone in some island somewhere, right? You're going to go give them a tip.
We're
right?
out of beer money.
And it's just like, You show someone that thing, and they're like, oh my God, they've never seen anything like it before. And then you'd say, oh no, it's yours.
The next
and,
thing
I mean,
you know,
could,
they're
you could have just
you.
Handed them $1 million and it wouldn't have been the same.
Well,
you know,
somebody gifted us one as a thank you. It was the thank you one time. And I mean, it's memorable. We still have it. We got it sitting up in the living room. It was super cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Yeah.
It's a nice gift.
So you said no shortage of them. That was one of my questions. Do you find this, is there any worry this is not sustainable? Because, I mean, they're not making any more unless the movie's correct and it's out there.
Those movies are great for business.
I bet.
I hope they keep making them.
Yeah.
But no, we, I mean, I've been doing it, I mean, not with Rights of Beach Diving, but doing it, diving for megalodon teeth for 14 years.
Yeah.
Right. And 14 years ago, it was like, oh my God, there was one spot out there. We called it Disneyland. We would go all the time. Every boat went there and it was just insane. Right. And then there's the people that say, oh, there's, it'll never be like that again. And every year we have the conversation. We're like, this ledge is kind of getting a little sparse, you know, when's it going to end? And then we'll do a couple days of exploring and find the next best ledge, and it's better than it was 14 years ago. So
that's awesome.
I mean, in our experience, I don't,
because storms, like you said, are actively stirring them up. Is that correct? Are they moving them significantly enough where you would go to a ledge and 2 years later you go to that same ledge and it would be a totally different, might be on top, might
correct.
Be more? Okay,
exactly. As far as the current ledges that are known and that we dive,
we have to revisit them years later, especially after storms, because of that reason.
Okay.
But the storms can do two things, one of two things. It can either pile a bunch of sand on top and bury everything that was there, or it can remove the sand and expose everything on top. Gotcha. So, and which is the nice thing, because when they do that, you know, you can swim around.
It's also nice to cover them up anyways, because you're like, I'll write this one down. It's covered up. No one else is going to mess with it. It kind of reserves it.
They'll find them on radar.
Yeah,
they always do.
I have a question. Speaking of finding on radar and competition and all this, this might be inappropriate, but it can't be any worse than what DJ said last time.
What did DJ say?
I'm racking my brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, several years ago, there was that girl that died. It was a girl that died, right? From.
I mean, a lot of people have died out there.
Yeah, but they were from Florida. I just remember there being a lot of shade being thrown at these people because they were coming here to hunt teeth.
Oh, so was this?
I think it was on the flying
fish. The flying fish. That was it. That was Amy. Oh, Johnny Piano's wife.
What's the story? Is that something that we shouldn't talk about?
Nobody really knows enough information about it.
Were they doing something naughty being here from Florida, though? Is that like a no-no? Well,
they were actually from Hatteras.
Yeah.
Hatteras. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
don't you remember there was a big thing back in that freediving tournament that we did years ago, and the flying fish came in, and like there were people diving, like free diving on the boat, and the flying fish came in, dropped their anchor, and was like, "This is our spot."
Oh gosh, no, I don't remember. But they had a bad.
They didn't make a lot of friends down there.
I don't think they ever made any friends.
Yeah, I mean, so he's still diving.
The boats from the Outer Banks. Still doing the boats here.
It was out of the Outer Banks.
I think
this
they come down here and
go.
In like maybe the wintertime or fall or spring. Oh. I don't know.
But the flying fish has been gone since that happened. And then, but now he has another boat. So he lives in Wilmington now. And,
plot thickens.
So he's still,
plot's
out
real
there.
Sick, Brett.
But as far as Meg Teeth diving goes, I mean, he's the OG. I mean, he has been doing it for 25 years.
Longer than anybody.
Full time. I mean, that's what he does. And he's still out there doing it. 3-4 day trips.
Wow.
Just nonstop.
Hitting
it hard.
Yeah.
I think I'm just weak, y'all, because I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, like, I don't even want to free dive 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
One day, I'm done. And I'll probably complain about that. I'll be like, oh my gosh, how early do we have to go? I'm just really weak.
So, I'm interested in like what do people when they're buying your teeth, what are they looking for? Anything?
There's two different types of people. Well, there's a lot more types than that.
No, you said it right here. There's two. There's two.
There's
that's
three divers and there's scuba divers.
Yeah.
I was making a pass at the whole gender identity.
Oh yeah, that's a good one too.
Well then, yeah, then there's two.
You said there's two.
There is two. Yeah, still two. I'll be on record. Still two. Yeah, there is two. Well, so there, like, as far as sales go, right? So there's the person that's, you know, buying a Meg tooth for their son or daughter, or their grandson, granddaughter, right?
So,
you know, the little kid who is so into sharks and knows everything about sharks and knows everything about the Megalodon. And they don't care, you know, about quality and serrations, how perfect it is. They just, you know, it's a great gift for whoever it is, right? The kid. And then there's the people who are the high-end collectors, right? And just like anything else with gems or rocks or, you know, anything you collect, right? So they're looking for the high-end specimens with, you know, the perfect serrations and the enamel and the patina on it and everything like that. Those are the rarest teeth we find, but there's a buyer out there for them, right? So those are the two biggest demographics.
How many of those do you find? Like, how many of those perfect teeth do you find?
It's like a perfect 6-inch tooth, right? Mm-hmm. So 6 inches and up is the benchmark, right? For Meg teeth.
6 inches and up is the benchmark.
Like,
for
that's
me.
Like
anything
amazing.
Smaller than that is like, bleh.
Yeah. For Meg teeth.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I know. But so when you find, you know, they only got to about 7 inches, right? 6-inch teeth, super rare. When you find one that's absolutely perfect, super rare, right? So what do we find? Like a perfect 6-inch tooth is like 1 in 2,000.
Oh, wow.
And is that 1 a year?
Or? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
It's like 100 a year.
You find
100 a year? That is not super rare. Do you guys want to know what super rare means?
Whoops. That means 100. That means they're doing 20. Is that 20,000 teeth a year?
No, I was joking. I was making up statistics like Brando.
I'm going to say the bearded hen is more rare.
Don't put this back on me.
It's more rare. Wow. Inflating our statistics.
So what blew my mind about Meg teeth is they're not all that big. There's some smaller ones, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah, there's some Brando size ones.
Brando size ones. Yeah. When one time Carl's like, here, take a handful of these. I was like, what is this? Those are Megalodon teeth. Megalodon teeth is what he handed me. Okay, guys. Get your minds out of the gutter.
So I got a question. A 6 foot tooth, or sorry, 6-inch tooth is how big is the shark?
About 10 feet for every inch of tooth. So
wow,
you're looking at 60 foot shark.
Oh my gosh.
God.
Yeah.
That's intimidating.
Jesus.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's,
oh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's
insane. I know. I'm never diving again.
Boat out there?
It's 40.
Yeah. 40, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and it'd be
another half of that.
So it wouldn't be as wide, but yeah, it'd be
pretty close. Girthy.
Yeah.
I guarantee it'd weigh more.
Oh.
Oh, than that thing? Yeah.
It's incredible. But I mean, you've seen the Meg jaws at the aquarium and stuff like that.
It's impressive.
That's accurate. I mean, that's...
Now, correct. What about the different colors? So,
ooh, the colors, yeah.
How do they get those colors, and what's the most desirable? Because I like the, like, I guess it's called Carolina Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the coolest ones.
So, as far as most desirable, exactly what you said.
Yep.
What you like, right?
The lighter.
That, the Carolina Blonde is not the most desirable.
It's whatever that person.
Ren can sit here and be like, I really like the dark black ones with the gray root, right? Mm-hmm. That's just all personal preference, right? Certain colors are more rare than others. But color is just all personal preference.
Mm. Ren likes the Carolina brown gray.
Brown gray.
That's what he likes.
The brown gray.
Well, how do they get those colors?
Brett's the scientist.
Yeah,
he's a scientist. All right, scientist.
No, yeah, the colors.
Because they're right beside each other and they're different colors, right?
Well, they're right beside each other now. They weren't right beside each other when they were fossilized. But the color's just determined by the sediment it was fossilized in. So like a more iron rich sediment is going to produce like the browns and the oranges, and more phosphate rich sediment is going to produce the grays and blacks. So yeah, you can find them a few feet apart, but that's not necessarily where they were fossilized in and that exact sediment they were fossilized in.
So they're just rolling all together wherever they end up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all these teeth rolling are white, right? I mean, when they're in the shark's mouth, they were white. So fossilization process, minerals replace all the organic material. And then whatever time period that was, or whatever sediment that tooth was in when it fossilized, determine the color. And then millions of years later, everything mixes together and mixes over, and you get a bunch of different colors.
This fossilization that process just blows my mind. How does it go from organic material to fossilized material?
I have no idea.
Brett?
Please say that something.
Well, there's different types of fossils, right? So there's like cast fossils, which you'll see, like if you have a rock and you see an imprint of a shell or something in it.
Like, so
you
can understand footprints.
That one, right?
Right. Yeah. I understand that one. Yeah. Basically, the organic material goes away, and then space that it fills.
Yeah, the sediment hardened around that formed rock, and then the organic rots away, and you're left with the imprint.
Exactly.
But yeah, with the teeth thing, I can't quite comprehend it.
It's really hard to explain because we actually just make them in our basement.
little plaster of Paris.
Yeah.
And here's your perfect. Yeah, that's why the 6 inches are so rare.
Yeah, here's your Carolina Blonde.
We have with the gray roots.
Yeah. What color do you want yours?
Really? Oh yeah. No way.
My favorite accusation against you guys is.
Oh my
God. Whoa. Whoa, favorite. Is it
where more? This is going
from the rumor mill?
Well, I wasn't expecting that reaction, but we can go down that road.
This could go anywhere.
What
is that you go out for fun and find them and then go place them in places for your clients. That's my favorite one.
Like I said, right, we have we have two businesses, right? We have a charter business and then we have a sales business. So why would I go find all these teeth, right,
that, that you
can
sell,
make money on, sell, and then throw them down and get rid of them, right? Well, we don't care if the customers find any teeth.
Right. They've already, they've already paid you for the charter. It's the same.
If anything, you mark the spot and come back and let them find them.
And we really do. So, I mean, all joking aside, but like as far as our charter spots, right? We have spots that Brett and I could go dive, right? And it's hard work and it's a lot of digging. And it's, you got to really, really know what you're doing to find teeth. I wouldn't take a charter there because these people may have never dove for meg teeth before, right? So when we find a spot where we're like, okay, this is the perfect combination. The teeth are nice. They're really, really easy to find. And there's a lot of them. Brett and I leave that spot alone. We're like, this isn't, we don't go here to dive for ourselves. We go and to our spots. And we save this for our customers. So every year we're always looking for our next charter spot, right? And where everybody's happy, you know, because it, you're spending a lot of money to come out and a lot of people are traveling from across the country. You know, they don't want to go down and not find anything.
No, yeah. You would have not the reputation you had if people weren't finding teeth.
Yeah.
If they were just flooding
and
every time.
And that is, you know, apart from... you know, the risks involved with diving, but that's a stressful part of our day too. Is just like, you know, they come back and you're like looking in their bags, you're like, please.
I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you hope that they're happy with what they found.
Well, and if they're really struggling, that's when I can step in and kind of do a dive with them and help them and show them as far as, you know, give them a little more experience down there to be able to find them.
That's when you take it out of your pocket and put it in your hand. No, I mean, that's when
There are some people, though, like, they're just beyond helping, you know? Yeah. I mean,
we've like got kids. We know the tricks.
I've been down there with one guy, and he wasn't finding anything. So I bring him down, and I'm pointing him out, and he's just not seeing him.
Even pointing him out.
Yeah, and I'm literally like, okay. His hand's like right here, and I'm pointing. Like he's 2 inches from the tooth. I'm like, right here. And he picks up the rock next to it and is like, I'm like, okay, all right, I can't help you.
Yeah, you
like,
can't help
it, I'm sorry. You know,
I get it. Yeah. There are some unteachable people in the world.
Yes.
And then you start to wonder, was there something wrong with their brain?
Probably.
It could be. Yeah.
We've had that before, guys. We're like, what is. No, it's funny when people have messed up brains.
So
then she looks
really
at Brandon.
At that?
I did.
Oh my god.
That's why he has the reputation he has.
Hey, it is what it is. I'm just waiting for somebody to reveal it. It's going to happen. But no, I can relate to that. Ren and I can. Like, I am stressed when we take someone spearfishing. Like, they come from, we've got somebody from Hawaii, we've got somebody from Oklahoma coming this year, and they're like, want to spear a wahoo. So we're going to do, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure they can see one. So I'm always like yelling at them, grabbing their face. Look, like there's one. If they seen one, my job's done. But the stress factor of like, I haven't seen crap today. I mean, it wears on you, even though you're right. You've taken they pay for the charter. They know the expectation. It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, that stress is always there. You know, that's the one thing that you can't do, right? You can do everything perfect. You can get them out there and you can't put the fish in front of them, right?
You can't pull the trigger for them.
Yeah. And but is it hard, like, when you, like, see that wahoo yourself and you have to watch them miss the
Ren
shot?
Ask Ren about me and charters.
Well, sometimes you got to take it for them, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to be, like,
so my policy is if it is a true, like, we had, Ren and I had, two people last year that we got two like 19-20 pound hogfish back to back, and I saw that hogfish and I was following it around for a good 8 minutes, just following
one breath
it. Yeah. One breath,
you had a tank on,
just following it from the surface, following this thing around, and Ren's like, don't shoot it, and he went and tried and he missed, and then he's reloading and I'm following this hogfish. But my policy is like a hogfish is a little different if y'all know how they act. But anything else, they get an opportunity, but if that opportunity is gonna go away or they miss, then I'm shooting it like a wahoo. I'd rather them hold a fish, take fish home. And if they've missed, and you know how long it takes a blue water guns, like that's a 10-minute ordeal and getting your breath back. If it's not going to happen, I'll go down and shoot it so they can at least have a picture, hold it, see it. That's kind of my policy.
Well, lot of those people that come out with it, well, some of them are new. Mm-hmm. So when they see someone who is very experienced do it, they learn. It's a great experience no matter what. So you taking the fish is...
That goes into like very similar to what we do, right? So you got these customers out there with you, right? And you know, it's really, you know, the fish are there, right? But then they're not shooting them, whatever. You go down, right? You're like, here you go.
Yep.
Right? Same thing with us, right? There's some days where, you know, nobody's really doing good on teeth, right? And I'm starting to sense a little animosity, and they're a little angry. As soon as they start complaining, I'm like, Brett, get in the water. and I said, don't hold back.
And Brett's like,
Brett comes up with a bag full.
Yeah.
And it's like, there you go. They're not here. Do I have any complaints?
Right? Give me my cigarette.
But sometimes, you know, that goes a long way. It's like, look, we're helping you. Like, listen to us. We told you where to go, told you what to do, right? He just did it. Can't say the spot's bad. So now, you know, and we really do help them a lot.
Yeah,
and,
I'm sure you do.
Because your job is to hold their hand through it and
make them have
a good time.
But we're lucky enough to have a lot of repeat customers that are good at it, right? And they know what they're doing, and they've been around the block, and you know they understand weather. They understand that, you know, not every day is going to be filling a bucket full of megalodon teeth, and they're just happy to be out there. You know, it's just fun. I mean,
super
diving's fun.
I
mean, spearfishing, megalodon teeth, everything. It's all fun.
It is fun.
Any day on the ocean is amazing. Well, not all of them.
Yeah. I've been out there.
We've had our fair share of really terrible ones.
Mother Nature is a bitch.
We all, I think, pick our days in this room at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, man. When we first started, I mean, we were yes men, right? Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know? And we started with, you know, the 24 Albemarle and the 28 Bertram, you know, doing it for ourselves, not running charters, you know, doing just really stupid stuff, right? Going out in snotty weather, staying overnight, getting your ass kicked, and then you get a bigger boat, you're on charge, like, yeah, boat can handle it, we're good. And the stuff we went out in 7 years ago, we do not go out.
See, that's what I'm saying with about being boat. Weak. Yeah,
I think you get, it's the comfort crisis.
Yeah.
Or you just get smart, and you realize it is not worth it.
I'm going to go with that, actually.
You get smart. You get smart.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta do it anyway. Oh, speaking of, are we gonna dive next Sunday?
Oh,
in the ocean?
No, ocean's a no go. Yeah, and I heard that the quarry is high 50s.
Yeah,
is that correct?
That's what Season told
high
me.
50s,
yeah. And that's 50s. That's probably on the surface.
Actually, how do you feel when you have customers in the class that don't meet your expectations? What do you do about that?
Should we just do like a waterway?
No.
Deep hole.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. All the way, baby. And then when they start complaining, we just go in there and dive it up and do like these guys do. Bring up a bag of teeth and be like, see?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be one
Why
of the,
can't you do it?
It's going to be one of those weekends.
It's going to be one of those weekends.
Already mentally prepping.
12 well, people. It's going to
so,
be.
So when you guys aren't doing megalodon teeth here out of North Carolina, where, what? You guys just came off a trip. Tell us about that trip.
We did. Yeah. Just got back. So we did 3 weeks. We were in Palau and Truck Lagoon.
Ooh.
So all
Truck Lagoon.
I've heard of those places.
Yeah, a lot of free divers go there.
Free divers do? Really?
Yeah, they do.
Well,
they're scooter diving.
They're doing scooter stuff.
Okay, on the wrecks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So Palau was like the first part. That was the easy diving, you know. Palau was absolutely beautiful. It was incredible. one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to.
Healthiest reefs I've seen.
Healthiest ever. Reefs awesome. I have really? Ever seen. I mean, the soft corals, the fish life. I mean, you don't see those massive schools of fish in the Caribbean anymore. And all the pelagic fish, sharks on every dive, manta rays nice. Close to your face. Awesome. You know, it was crazy. But then the real reason we went over there was for Truck Lagoon. And so we were on a liveaboard for a week and dove all those wrecks. So that was the more technical side of things.
We were guys went together.
There was 16 of us. That
oh,
went.
My gosh.
From the area?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so us and one of our friends who owns another dive shop in North Carolina kind of split the boat, so we each brought 8. Well, we dropped down to 6. But so we brought 6, he brought 10. So we had the whole boat to ourselves, and then in Palau there were 16 of us as well. So
you did an expedition with some clients.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, nice. I was confused. Yeah. Got yeah, it, that's yeah. awesome. Get a free vacation.
Exactly. but no, so the Truck Lagoon part was, you know, we were on rebreathers doing some really deep technical diving, a lot of, you know, inside of ships, down in engine rooms. You know, it wasn't the diving we typically do out here, so it was really cool to do that experience. It,
what, what's the depth that were you doing?
So I was gonna
ask. Deepest we did was like 190.
Wow.
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah. Yeah. This weekend or next weekend
in the quarry.
Yeah. But, I mean, you get down to that depth and it's, you know, every minute you're down there, you know, you're spending another 3 minutes doing decompression, right? So, like, the San Francisco Maru was the deepest wreck we did last day. And, I mean, I did 35 minutes on the wreck and then that was 45 minutes of decompression coming up, right? Mm. So it's, you know, a long dive. It's deep, but
was it worth it?
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know anything about World War II history or you are interested in that, I mean, it's right there in front of you. I mean, it's like diving in a museum.
That's awesome.
I mean, everything's still there. They never did any salvage on the wrecks.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you're down in these holds and there's gas masks and helmets and human remains. Everything's still there.
That's scary.
It's creepy, yeah. Yeah. And the wrecks are super haunted.
Oh. Now, the Truck Lagoon, that is where all those Japanese ships.
All Japanese, yeah. So Truck Lagoon was basically...
It was known as the Pearl Harbor Revenge.
Mm. Oh.
So they had a bunch of military station there in the lagoon, and we had found it by flying over it. And 2 weeks later, came in surprise, attacked it. So we came in, dropped bombs, torpedoes, and did that sort of thing. So all the ships that were there were damaged just sunk right there in the lagoon. So, I mean, there's like 36 of them.
Holy cow.
Within a very small area. And whatever was on them sunk right there with them.
They were anchoring deep, weren't they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it basically, for the Japanese, it was a perfect strategic area to have their fleet. Because there's an atoll that
goes around the outside of the island. I mean, in the middle of the Pacific, there's not a lot of protected places, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this atoll that goes around the outside of the island, and then inside you have the lagoon, so that barrier reef blocks a lot of the waves. I mean, inside the lagoon, there's no current. There's no
Oh, that's cool.
Perfect visibility, no current.
Yeah.
Best conditions.
Incredible. And so you take a boat from, where do you take a boat to get out to Truck Lagoon? So you got to fly, everywhere is through Guam, right? There's no easy way to travel between those islands. It's just
long ways over.
Convoluted flight schedules, and like we left Palau at 1 a.m. to get on a flight, and then into Guam, and then from Guam over to Chuuk is the name of the island. Chuuk is the country, but it was the actual country. There's one island, Weno, W-E-N-O. That's where all the people live, and it is tiny and third world. There's nothing. There's one resort, which was basically camping. And that's the only resort on the island. So we stayed there for 2 days to get on the boat. And then we got on the Odyssey. So it's a friend of ours, Mike. He's been captain in that boat for 20 years.
Goes around the outside of the island. I mean, living in the middle of the Pacific, there's not a lot of
living on the boats, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So you have this atoll that goes around the outside of the island, and then inside you have the lagoon, so that barrier reef blocks a lot of the waves. I mean, inside the lagoon, there's no current.
What's the plane ticket?
I mean,
there and back. Round trip from here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
25.
And so you take a boat from where do you take a boat to get out?
Four of us should go.
So you got to fly. Everywhere is coming. Yeah. Right. There's no.
We got to leave the kids coming up.
Travel between those islands.
Yeah, that's turning 50.
It's just
long ways over.
Convoluted flight schedule.
Looks good, right? Take your shirt off, Ren. Show them.
Like we left Palau at 1 a.m. to get on a flight.
I said, take your shirt off. Show them. You're looking good.
He's embarrassed. Okay. You're making him blush.
Well, how old are you, Brett?
But I'm 34. The actual country, there's one island, Weno.
You guys are
Weno,
way
young.
W-E-N-O.
That's where all the people live.
I didn't know you were that young. It is.
So you're the boss of somebody?
Third world.
Jesus.
Other than Olivia.
There's nothing. I'm not even. There's one resort, which was basically camping.
No.
And that's 36. The only resort on the island.
You're almost there, man.
Yeah. I wish I was still 30.
Did you see the way he answered, too? It's like, no.
I wish I was 32.
Not me. I'll never hit 40.
He's been captain in
the I'll never
20
hit 40.
Years.
Okay.
Not the way I'm going.
Wow.
Back and forth. Back and forth, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so then you get on the boat and live on the boat for 7 days. And
is that when you met her?
Dive your brains out.
No, 29. Oh, Rich is 29 when we met. Yeah.
So
and things just kept getting better, didn't they, buddy?
Yeah, I need a birthday.
Let's go. Yeah.
This year, man.
50?
Add a couple kids, it really complicates things.
5-0?
Really puts the wrinkles to the face.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Watch her with her beady eyes staring at me.
32.
Hey, Ani.
Hey.
Welcome.
These guys have been doing this a lot.
Ani's 10. That's our daughter.
Young.
Yes.
You guys go to college? Or you went straight into the Megalodon team?
Mr. Chris. Yeah. Mr. Brett.
How old are you?
Mr. Crazy Stinky Pants.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You didn't hit 40 yet.
This is Daddy.
What? It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Not
me, I'll never
hit 40.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, two more hours.
I do.
Like 39
forever. You guys are scouting. Do y'all do it during the winter when it's cold? Or you kind of wait?
My 20s were a disaster. My 30s were good. My 40s were even better.
Nice.
No, I met her when I was in my 30s. Actually, my late 20s.
So who'd you meet in your 40s?
Sure. you shack up with a good woman. It helps a lot.
For sure. Now you guys make a great team.
Oh yeah.
No.
That doesn't make things easy.
Sure. No.
It's rewarding, but it doesn't make things easy. Oh yeah, there she is. Yeah.
It's like they know when you're talking about
her. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah.
Ani's
10.
That's our daughter.
10.
Yeah, she's tall.
She's tall. This is Mr. Chris, Mr. Brett.
Hey.
Mr. Crazy Stinky Pants.
Hi, nice to meet you.
This is Daddy.
Hey, honey. Are you ready for your show? Yeah, okay.
It's been bad this winter. Do y'all agree?
No.
Yeah, do we have any?
Two more hours.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 more hours. I do. So,
not a day. No, the one day we had
a little bit of both.
Yeah. Not so much bad for y'all, but it was
now.
Cold,
I mean,
and
the last 3 years we've started,
out, you know, 70
blocking
miles
out,
out so
throughout the season, no bueno. Right? So if we just, you know, made our availability, we can run charter 7 days a week.
Earlier,
book with charters 7 days.
Is it possible to free dive?
So now
again,
we block
really
out
want to.
Two, sometimes 3 days in a week, and
well,
we
I'm
use
waiting
those days for. Either going out exploring or, you know, if we just ran, you know, 7-8 days straight with a good stretch of weather, you know, we need to do maintenance on the boat, right? There's oil changes that need to be done and, you know, just wear and tear, things like that. Or sometimes I just want to sleep in past 5:30. And
no, I want to dive.
So,
yeah.
But the nice thing is, well, not nice for, you know, people that want to dive here, but the nice thing for
I would
an operator
love to.
Here is
I have
the weather gives you
five.
Off.
Yeah,
I have five
right?
Megalodon.
You're gonna get your off days. So, I mean, what are we at? Like 50 to 60%.
Yeah, it's literally like a coin flip. 50% weather blowout ratio.
Yeah.
Okay, Ashley. Probably dive the quarry.
Oh, this winter has been terrible. I mean, since, yeah, from October. I mean, even now. I mean, it's April and it's still just blowing 25 to 30 every day. It's not even close.
Yeah, the one day we had was not so much bad for y'all, but it was cold and green still. We're way out, you know, 70 miles out.
Yeah, but the water's warming up quick.
If you tell
that's good. Diving next weekend.
If you tell me they're down there, Brett, I will black myself out trying to get one. Okay.
If we go with them, anything's possible.
Yeah. No, we can definitely.
It's been
do
done.
It.
Yeah. Like we said it. Aww.
Not by us.
We go. We go down that. Like we get Brett to jump in the water. We have to really treat him well. And put the anchor.
That's fine. The last thing I wanted to talk about was shooting
on the
fish,
spot, so. And then we dive down the anchor line.
We need to dive a line. Yeah.
We can.
Or
do
scooter.
No, that's cheating.
And well, that's not cheating.
Make a shot
Olivia's
line.
Olivia's bringing
you know,
a split turkey
with a
for y'all.
Buoy or sausage on surface, and then you can dive the line.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, what?
If it's
what
over 100
turkey.
Feet.
What kind of time are you? Looking
it was on
at, like,
Saturday opener.
For you guys.
It depends on the ride down. Is it going to be a ride down?
No, we're not cheating. We're diving down straight.
Boom!
90-95 feet.
So 100
feet.
Shut that
sucker up.
For you got a minute down there if you're doing a 100-footer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just.
That's a minute up and a minute down.
2 minutes. Yeah. It's a minute round trip and then a minute on the bottom.
Can I wear a weight? Leave the
drop
weight
the
there.
Weight at the bottom. Yeah.
Are you gonna wear fins?
Bearable.
Yeah. For safety.
Or is
for
that
safety.
Cheating?
It's close. It's marginal. Yeah, we will definitely have to have some really good safety that day. Listen, I am having a great time, but Ani has to be at the school at 5 o'clock, and we have to go pick up Sienna, so I have to excuse myself.
Okay, I'll see you.
Talent show, right?
I'll see you. I'll see you at 5:30.
But listen, it's at the middle school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a crock pot with some beans and stuff if anybody's hungry before they leave.
Right nice. On time. Olivia shot her first turkey. Was that on Monday?
It was on Saturday.
Yeah, nice. With Ren's yeah, that's
nice. He was mid gobbler.
That's terrible.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, Ashley, for sure. We'll get out there this summer. We'll do some free diving for Meg Teeth.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
For sure.
We can even.
Yeah. 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 Any one of our off days.
Yeah.
And then we can do that and then just go spear fishing.
Or that and just go look for some more teeth.
Yeah. Or we can do that.
Now, when you guys are just like trying to get your teeth, are you on rebreathers?
We are, yeah.
Is that
yeah.
a longer yeah. Decompression time? Slightly. Yeah.
A couple reasons. I mean, we you get the bottom time.
Right, right, right.
You don't have to change tanks in between dives. So it's not like we're doing super crazy long dives with the rebreathers like we could. It's more of a convenience and just a little bit better decompression schedule and optimizing your time on the bottom. It's more important.
Are you really the whole time?
Why is it more important? Why is Brett?
Yes.
Well, I've been prone awesome. To DCS decompression sickness in my left shoulder. So I had a lot of problems after being bent pretty bad the first time and then open circuit on a tank with just diving nitrox, the amount of nitrogen in the tank just wasn't helping my shoulder.
Yeah.
So then once we converted over to the rebreathers, we're running a higher, it's fancy stuff, but we're running a higher partial pressure of oxygen, basically less nitrogen.
Yeah.
So it was giving my shoulder more time to off gas and not cause as many problems, but I was still having a couple issues. So now I'm all the way to diving what's called trimix, where you reduce nitrogen in the gas and add a third gas, helium, into the mix.
Yeah.
And that's really helped with my symptoms of DCS in my shoulder.
Yeah, the whole thing's so confusing.
Slightly.
Me,
so you get
so
what's trimix,
you
helium
can
penalty,
do any depth,
but it's only a couple
much.
Minutes compared to not diving trimix. So it's
you don't
want to
be super
it's
shallow?
Or a little more expensive. but it's okay. Worth it as far as my health goes and my diving career goes.
I think that's the most important
part. And the really cool thing is, like, when you're diving helium, you can talk through your rebreathers, right? So you just
okay.
Like, oh, hey, bro, what are you doing? Yeah. That's the fun part. Yeah, you come up from your dive, you know, you take your regulator breath, and you're just like, wah, 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 wah.
What's the, so there is a mechanism you guys can talk while you're underwater?
It's not a mechanism, but on a rebreather,
you can hear
it. I compare it almost to like snorkeling, right?
Right.
Just,
you can hear
just breathing in and out, but there's no forced air and then bubbles when you come out.
Yeah.
So you're in a loop, so you can kind of muffled talk back and forth and semi-understand.
Yeah, those clients I had.
When we used to do the free diving competitions in the Caymans, we would always have like
they asked me to go get the tanks
deep
filled, and
safety on a scuba.
I think,
and they would scream, "Go, go!" You can hear them.
I went to aquatic and was like, "These guys are going 175 feet in their Trimix," and I think Mike was like, "Sure, this is what I'll do." So it worked. It worked out. They're still alive, so. You do that now.
Well, yes, your depth's limited by oxygen.
Yeah.
So, which is one of the tri gases. Yeah. So trimix, you can have a blend of three gases, but the percentage of those three gases can be anything technically. Okay. So
do you substitute?
You would adjust your percentages based upon your.
You
depth.
Substitute helium for the nitrogen.
And the oxygen sometimes.
Well, I know that oxygen at depth is poisonous.
Yeah.
Nitrogen at depth is narcotic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can be DCS related.
Now, do y'all have it?
So
like
the helium's been reducing
for you
narcotic
guys? I didn't
effects.
Know that.
It's typically used for depths beyond 100.
That's where I want to go get my new hat. So
that's
I know.
When it really would affect the mind. And so to reduce that effect, you reduce the nitrogen and replace it with helium.
Okay.
Yeah, those clients I have.
Very cool.
Did they ask you to pay for them too? Get that bill.
That's what I was going to ask and close out with. If you guys were doing any free diving,
yep.
This is what I'll do. So
that's kind
of. They're still alive. But,
yeah, that's.
Do you guys buy your gases? Do you mix your own gases?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We We don't. We just have a Haskell pump, so we mix our O2. And,
we feel you.
You know, because on our rebreathers, we're just filling basically small O2 bottles.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two types. We'll go back. We'll go back to.
It's just basically.
There's two types of people.
Run everything through a little booster.
So there's two types of people I've learned.
Fill it up.
There is the ones
filling,
that
you know, our,
I just wanted to be me. I don't want anybody sharing the boat or me and my son or whatever. And they're like, I don't care how much it is. And then there's the ones that are like, can I bring, I know your website says 4 max for this trip. Can I bring 10 people to split the cost?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you'd been there.
Yeah. Or I only have, I know it says $1800. I only have 300. Will that work for you?
You know, yeah, we're right in there.
Yeah. But I wouldn't ask. It blows my mind how many people ask.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's right around the corner from the boat.
Now, I was looking at your Instagram thing, and it says that you do free diving.
Oh, God. It still says that?
That was from, from opening
that
day.
That was from 2017.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
That's right.
Needs to be changed.
We're not opposed to it, but we're so booked up with scuba that we've...
Your gas, really you're beating your boat up.
The problem with the free divers trying to book a charter is that, you know, we tell them the price and then they're like, oh no. Mm-hmm. You know, free divers are worse than sailboaters.
Shut up. I'm both of those, Chris.
You're right, just double.
You're right. I'm cheap.
No,
I'll do it myself.
I'll feel that. I understand.
There's two types of people I've wanted. There is the ones that. I just wanted to be me. I don't want anybody sharing the boat or me and my son.
Y'all been spearing any fish? Are you plans to spear any fish?
And then
no. Like, are you? I don't know.
Yeah, can I bring 10
and get a discount?
Yeah, or, some... I only have. I know it says.
What was that? I forgot.
Will that work for you?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Huh? I was there, man. I've been there.
Yeah, I mean,
very nice.
It,
well, the thing is, and I was obviously joking, but A lot of people don't realize what is involved to take a charter in North Carolina.
Group are going
to
be 45. Yeah.
You go anywhere else in the country to go dive, you know, 3-4 miles off the beach. You're right there. It's a quick, easy day. You're back by noon. You know, I mean, going 40, 50 miles offshore, I mean, gas ain't cheap. Yeah. Fuel ain't cheap.
What about blacks?
Your time.
They were talking about,
you know, I mean,
blacks.
So it sounds like a lot at first until you really think about it. You're like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. We're leaving at 6 a.m. We're not going to be back till like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's a 2-hour boat ride each way.
One per person, two per boat.
And then
yeah. You
understand
it's a long
it,
day.
Right? So
yeah, we're there.
It doesn't upset me,
but you gotta pay the cost to be the boss.
That's right.
At all.
That's right.
Like, there's so many other fish, and like for clientele, they're hard to shoot anyways.
Are we allowed to spear any fish anymore?
I'm with you. Like the past 3 years have
not
been like glamorous for gags at all.
What was your last trophy?
The one that beat Mark in the tournament.
Oh,
it was a 53-pound Kubera.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got lucky. Stumbled upon it.
Yeah,
but
it
was we haven't done much after
it's
that.
Not like the flounder situation.
I know. I guess May 1st is when everything opens, but 6 weeks.
6 weeks is all you get.
6 weeks for gags. Mm. Yep.
Are the other groupers?
Scamp.
Yes.
And
red.
Red. I mean,
that's always.
And that so 6 weeks fine. For the scamps, reds, gags.
No, just gags.
Gags.
Everything else is the same, I believe.
So they'll
it's
go until
just,
January.
Yeah, it's just gag right now. So it's May 1st to June 15th.
Okay, well.
And I think it's one or
better
two
nothing.
Per boat.
Two, I believe.
Two per,
per
boat.
Boat.
Per boat, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but, I mean, I've seen a decline in them, you know?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
cool.
They need some protecting.
Doesn't upset me. I got this question.
Yeah, the red snappers.
Yeah.
Well, they shortened it. It was 5 days, and now it's 3 days. It's crazy.
No, no. And the
really
the one or the positive of the regulations that they imposed is that
what about
it's affecting
fish?
The commercial guys just as much. They're not, you know, regulating the recreational sector while still letting commercial guys go out and shoot 2,000 pounds a day. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That does nothing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they heavily reduced the commercial quota for this year. So hopefully it works.
Well, I think it's works for the red snapper.
Oh my
god, those things are everywhere.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where
look great. Oh, my daughter Ani just came in.
What?
She's in a play. She's doing a
play. Okay.
Annie, and she is. The character, God, I can't remember her name. She's the character
that
goes to the orphanage and picks Annie
gotcha.
Out and brings her to Daddy Warbucks. Or
okay.
Anyway, that's her character. But yeah, the red
times,
red snappers.
It's getting to the point.
How many times have you been stopped and they've counted your hogfish?
I mean,
they're everywhere.
I mean, come. On man, they need to open that season, and it might be no days this year. From the people in the on the council that I've talked.
It's gonna
to,
get to.
It
it's gonna
days.
Get. I'm looking at this
how
deer
crazy
mountain
is it?
Here. It's gonna get to like that where you're gonna have tags for every
but
fish,
for
and
red
you're gonna
snapper,
have to report them on your
right?
app on
so
your phone to NC Wildlife.
How
and every time you do it,
you know, regulating commission is. But the reason that they haven't been opening red snapper is because. The mortality rate of the fish that are thrown back because there's so much bycatch, right? You go out fishing for grouper, all you catch is red snapper. And a certain number of those fish die when you throw them back because you can't keep them. So because of that, that amount of fish that are dying from being caught and released, bycatch, exceeds what their total allowable quota would be for the year. So they don't open it. Can you figure that out?
And how do they do that number? How do they get that number?
The same way that they closed hogfish middle of last season, because a total of 987 fish have been caught between North Carolina and Florida.
Bermuda.
That was their quota. 987. might have been 20s. I don't know, 920s. It was 900 something, very specific. And all of a sudden, oh, season's closed.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean,
it's going to get to it. I'm looking at this deer mountain here. It's going to get to like that where you're going to have tags for every fish and you're going to have to report them on your app on your phone. Mm-hmm. Every time you do it.
Well, the problem is that we're all, you know, all the fish that we're shooting or catching are all, you know,
just a little bit.
You know, the states
that makes me sad.
Don't have
no control over South Atlantic Fisheries Council. So.
Well, it has to be because they move back and forth.
Yeah, but that's what Scott Van Zandt, you know, Scott. Mm-hmm. I mean, his research on hogfish was trying to find that basically demarcation line to separate the species, right?
Did he find that?
I believe he did somewhere off Georgia.
You know, since Bruce shot his world record,
you know, but basically the whole idea was, you know, why should we in North Carolina be paying for, you know, all these little hogfish that are being shot in the Florida Keys?
We're gonna have Albie on
when
next.
They're a completely different species and they're not interbreeding, and what they do down there doesn't affect
weekend,
us up
so,
here.
Right. We're gonna get all this. So, yeah.
Yeah, same.
I mean, same latitude. Yeah, they should be.
Yeah, he's now the liaison for the windmills.
I mean, but we're known for our hogfish, right?
Yeah,
but I mean,
So that would be interesting.
20 years old.
He's like the voice of recreation and commercial
slow growers. All the wrasses are, and as you know, they're not
grouper too.
And grouper, yeah.
Even the big grouper, 25 pounds, is 20 plus years old.
Yeah, but grouper a little bit smarter than our. Hogfish friends. About that, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, there. I've killed a bunch of those like 13 to 15 pounders.
Mm-hmm.
13, 15 year olds, little teenagers.
Yeah,
taking out the teenagers.
They need to be taken out, damn teenagers.
I know, they're the worst.
Clock Island. It's fun. I think it'd be great. It'd be great until,
it's
you know,
tough.
All of a sudden there's a problem.
I mean, it's hard, though. I mean,
pull,
like, you see, I mean,
you know,
we need to talk to Albie about
maintenance.
That.
This area is closed down for perpetual.
Are you really?
Well, he might
years,
not be next. Oh, he's talking about next weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Which they can easily
We'll get all the insight on where all the fish are.
Oh, yeah. He'll give you his numbers.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Carolina
is
Bay
really?
Power. Yeah.
Offshore.
Yeah, so that's
so he's for it?
He's like the voice of commercial.
Okay. He never said that he was for it, but he's kind of the in between the public and the entity putting it together. Duke, I guess it's Duke.
Well, I think that's the biggest problem with anything, you know, fishing regulations, or anything like that, is that you have the science
that
behind it,
funny.
And you have the public's interpretation
that
of it,
hilarious.
And there's no middleman, and they just can't see eye to eye, right? So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
That's
you guys ever dove
like oil rigs in Louisiana?
Structure equals fish.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
That was great.
Yeah,
we did.
Just.
Stuff we definitely wanted to ask you. I mean, I think it's really cool, and I think it's, you know, I met you guys when y'all weren't doing it, and y'all transitioned in, and it's crazy how well you've done. It's really cool. Like I said,
10-mile radius.
Yeah, I know you by the area.
Well, they can say it, but the enforcement.
Cool, man. I like saying, yeah, I know those guys.
Yeah, I can't just tell somebody not to go 10 miles within 10 miles unless it's a warship.
Yeah. It was funny. We were on the radio. There's a warship up there.
Loggerheads.
There's some dude out there bottom fishing. He's calm.
Yeah.
Calm. He's like, vessel off my bow. Keep a 3-mile radius. Blah, blah, blah. And he keeps calling him. And guy comes back on the radio to the warship. And he's like, when I was in the Navy, we had steering wheels. I'm fishing over here.
That is hilarious.
I was like, damn, man, that's awesome. That is hilarious. Yeah, the guy
if
you're, had no
if you're
idea
what
to
deep, say. If you're going you're not diving a certain couple spots we won't name, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, they got guys, Brandon, can you think of anything else you want to ask these guys?
No, I think that was
Very cool, man. I covered my whole list.
I'm gonna hold you to it. I will blindfold myself. You can have my watch. I don't care. I want to go get a tooth free diving. Yeah, man, give us a call.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find us at any local dive bar on a given night. We enjoy Tito's sodas. Make sure you buy us one.
So
WBDiving.com is our website, right? Charter website, and ToothSales, the Fossil Exchange.
Wait, what's the Fossil Exchange?
The Fossil Exchange.com.
Okay,
right?
FossilExchange.com.
Yeah, that's our ToothSales website. And then as far as diving, we don't just do meg tooth diving, right? We do a lot of wreck diving, spear fishing, scuba. That's frowned upon.
No,
by
come
you
on.
Guys. But
if you're going deep,
yeah, you can do it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, period. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what we do, and we're gearing up for this season.
Yeah, man, we're all gearing up for this season.
We all are. Yeah.
I'll hold you to it. I'll blindfold myself. You can have my watch. I don't care. I want to go get a tooth free diving.
Yeah. No, we're gonna do it on one of our non-charter days. Yeah, man, so we'll just weather window. They're usually couple days notice. We got a weather window.
We'll go pick a bucket of teeth.
Yeah, I mean, cash, grass, or ass.
If we know what we're doing, we don't know what we're doing.
Teach you a few things.
Yeah, cash,
grass, or ass. Or I know you don't smoke, rats. So.
And I don't know how much cash you got.
So it's just ass.
You're left with one option.
Actually, speaking.
Yeah. All right, guys. Appreciate you guys coming. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Good luck this year.
Yeah.